Welcome, campers, to Camp Divination. We are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Carly, without Jordan.
Yeah, you'll notice the lack of Jordan. She's slacking.
I was supposed to say something else. I remembered our conversation last week that I was supposed to say something else afterwards, but I couldn't remember. And now the debrief. There we go. I'm Carly. And now the debrief. But yeah, that just like slipped my mind. And instead, I just went, and no, Jordan.
Well, I mean, technically, we're not debriefing yet. So I'm.
That's true.
I think.
That's true.
And no, Jordan, or and not Jordan, or whatever you said, was actually perfect. We have to let the listeners know Jordan's failing.
We're flying solo today. We're flying solo, and we're talking about one of my very favorite things. Dun, 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 dun. Not demons.
Not demons.
Yeah. Not demons. I love, I'm a little bit, so I haven't listened to the episode yet. I've been out of town, but I know from you and Jordan that you both think that this story is a little bit of some bullshit. And there's nothing that I love more than ripping apart a false demonic story. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to be like, I am prepared to eat my words if they're like, no, this is fucking real. But also, I hope it's not, just for sheer satisfaction of ranting.
You know, like, I mean, if it's legit, that would be great. And honestly, I mean, this is a hometown haunt or hometown story from, you know, Jordan and I's hometown. So,
Oh, close to home.
Yeah, I mean, this one's still within like a couple of blocks from where Jordan is right now. So yeah, it's one that, I mean, we grew up passing by this house, you know, daily or out riding bikes or whatever. I mean, like, but it was never really like, it was never one of those. We talked a lot about monster houses, mm-hmm. and like the popularity of monster houses, especially as a kid, you know, in the town where you live, like this house is quote unquote a monster house. Like everybody knows it's one of those that's most likely haunted. Everybody, you know, has been dared at some point to go and try and step on the, you know, the front steps and whatever else.
Right.
And this house was not one of those. There were several in this same town. But this house, like, didn't actually become known about as being, quote-unquote, a haunted house or anything until we were, like, well into adulthood.
Really?
You know, so, yeah, like, there was never anything. I mean, so that was another big thing for us is like, you know, I mean, most of these you grew up knowing about, mm-hmm. and this one just happens to all of a sudden, oh, this is a haunted house. And, you know, then it's being investigated. And
like,
I think like the first time I heard about it, my mom had called me and said, oh, I'm watching, you know, this some type of haunting show or ghost, paranormal investigation, some odd random bits of those shows. And she's like, and they're talking about this Hartford City house. Yeah, so there's nothing that was ever there beforehand. So that, like, really sticks out for me.
So that's like a real-life creepypasta haunted house edition, right, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
We'll go over a quick rundown on, you know, for anybody that missed the episode. But, you know, throwing all that information out in the front, which I know is a lot, that's just, again, one of those reasons why, you know, we found ourselves kind of swaying away from belief in this one. So, I guess before we get started, I'll do a quick history and we'll move on from there.
Let's do it.
Cool. In 1892, a family known as the Berger family immigrated from Belgium to Hartford City. Indiana, for what it's worth, if you missed that part, amidst the natural gas boom. Mm-hmm. Erecting their dream Victorian home, all was well for them, and they were, you know, they were at the peak of their happiness. Like, the family was wealthy, they were, you know, excelling, whatever else. I mean, you know, they were in a very good spot at this point. Now, one day, a fire broke out in the upstairs, like, upper area. That ended up taking with it half of the house and the majority of the family members as well.
Damn.
Leaving behind two remaining members, Mrs. Berger and a random child, unnamed child. Now, at that point, you know, to make ends meet, she decides to start renting out rooms in the house to random, you know, random people just so she can, you know, because she has no source of income, a lot of repairs that she has to do. And so she decides to start renting it out. Enter the Myers family. The Myers family, a very happy family at the time. Like, at the head of the family was a man named Ulysses Myers, and he's very well known for being a family man, one of the nicest people you could ever meet. I mean, he's like an upstanding citizen. Many people know him as this great guy. Well, very, very shortly after moving into the house, his personality shifts.
Really?
And shifts like 100, yeah, like a whole 180 shift from being this great guy to being this really terrible person, like completely unrecognizable by his friends and family, and starts
like Amityville.
Exactly. I brought up Amityville mm-hmm. in this case too.
Goddamn right you did.
So yeah, exactly like that, you know. And so he starts exhibiting like bouts of rage and abuse towards his family. You know, that lasts for a period of time until he eventually, like, leaves his family and his friends behind with his mistress, and that's the last we ever hear of him.
Wait. He had a mistress, and he just was like, peace?
Yep.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say right off the bat, who the fuck called this guy an upstanding family? Like, no.
Everybody beforehand. I call bullshit. Everybody before.
I call bullshit. He just was better at hiding it beforehand.
Or, you know, just give the guy a benefit of a doubt. Maybe things change.
Or the house possessed him.
And or maybe Mrs. Myers was not the, you know, the great wife that everybody thought she was.
That could be true.
Now this guy, he's trying. He's trying, you know. So
I'll hold space for that. But, in Little Rascals, they have the She-Man Woman Haters Club.
Yeah.
I feel like with these cases, I feel like true crime has conditioned me that it's always the husband's fault. Yeah, so I just automatically am like, fuck that. Mm. No. I still feel suspicious about that. Because there were no reports of her personality changing.
Right.
So if she sucked, then she just sucked the whole fucking time.
Or maybe she didn't, and that was the problem.
Like, she didn't suck, and then she started sucking, so he was like, I'm gonna go off with this girl now. Peace.
we can just go with that. Never mind.
Both are bad. That was mean of me. I'm going with it, though.
So, eventually...
We can accost the cards later.
Right. So he eventually leaves the family with his mistress. And then, so, like, these rumors start developing in the town that this house has to be cursed. I mean, it took with it part of the Berger family. Now it's caused Ulysses Myers to, like, change into this terrible person and leave his family at that. And so, like, everybody starts to, like, you know, say all these things about the house, which, you know, so tenants start coming and going, basically. It starts kind of like a revolving door of just people in and out of the house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, I mean, passing through, not staying. I mean, at that point, I guarantee there wasn't. You must live here for a year and you sign a year lease. It was probably more month to month or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, to come and go is kind of expected at that point in time. But, you know, so eventually Mrs. Berger is forced to sell because she just decided she wants out of it. She wants to start over somewhere new with her remaining child. And then the house switches hands, you know, several times up until the 80s and 90s, where it was said that the basement had seen a lot of like black magic use and witchcraft and people trying to summon demons and, you know, being most likely successful in this case. And this just became this kind of portal, right? And so
why is it always like black magic demon rituals?
Yeah.
How did we even get to that point? Because, like, what you've told me so far, yeah, you know, I could see how this house could end up being haunted. Why did demons enter the equation?
Because at that point, and as Jordan and I talked about, it was kind of like the hide around satanic panic era. And so it was like anybody out of the ordinary had to have been a devil worshiper. Like,
it's,
you know,
the demons.
Exactly. So needless to say, It switches hands until its final owner now, which is now the current owners are, well, people in between then and now have experienced like a lot of paranormal activity, things moving on their own, knocks, seeing actual full-blown apparitions.
What did they see?
They would see like shadow figures, like full, like body shaped or sized, like shadow figures out of the corner of their eyes.
I'm here for all of that.
It was also said that the ghost of an old woman was often said to be seen. A lot of people had reported seeing her, and she was like this, like, apparently very rage-filled old woman, which, like, I don't know, for some reason, I picture her, like, naked in, like, sumo pose, ready to chase after people.
What?
I don't know why I see her, but...
I mean, I would be like, I was thinking I'd be pissy too if, because I was assuming it was the woman who was like renting out all the houses or whatever. Well, I'd be pissy too if like most of my family burned alive and I was stuck with this fucking house. Yeah,
and a baby.
I'd be grumpy too. And a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, there's some paranormal reports of paranormal activity over the course of these years as well. And then, so now we'll skip to the final owner that is now renting the house out. Well, it gained a lot of reputation as this like haunted house. And it's been, you know, they've opened up investigations. The show Paranormal Lockdown, Nick Groff and I think of the other girl's name. Yeah. But they've went and toured the house and they ended up finding like this little area that nobody else had found in all these years. This area, they opened it up and found what were said to be human bones, aging over 100 years old. And so they deemed the house the Monroe Demon House, for what it's worth.
I'm not trying to detract from that, okay? But can I just tell you that, okay, you know how I like to watch horror movies as like, that's my source of comfort. I turn on a horror movie. And a lot of the time, I will fixate on one particular movie, and I'll just watch it over and over and over again. Right now, that movie for me is The Halloween with Tyra Banks and Busta Rhymes. Jeez.
Was it? Wait, what was that?
It was like Halloween. It came after Halloween 2.0. It's like Halloween Resurrection. I think that's what it's
there
called.
There we go. Yeah, I was trying to remember which one that was. Yes.
I've just been watching both of those on repeat. Okay, but there are some lines in that one that it's one of the worst Halloween movies that I've ever seen in my entire life, and I thrive. I live for this movie currently. When Busta Rhymes busts in through the door and he goes, "Hey Mikey, trick or treat, motherfucker." It gives me life. It gives me life in these trying times that I'm attempting to live through. I didn't mean to sound that to sound like suicidal or anything. Just for the record, I was just being dramatic. Anyways, but there is a scene in there where a wall breaks down and these like body parts and skeletons come tumbling out, and the people are like screaming, and it ended up being fake. And I'm not saying Nick Groff is faking anything at all. I'm just saying that's what my mind thought of.
Well, a little bit of information on that one then. So Jordan said when he was writing articles for the magazine that shall not be named at this point, he wanted to do an article on Monroe House, and we've been wanting to do an episode on the Monroe House as well, and like could never actually get to the point or just never fully like fleshed it out. And so when he was working on trying to write an article, he had done some investigation, and what I had seen was that they had submitted, they have of course submitted, like there was a police investigation because there had to be, because it was quote unquote bones. But they were submitted for like lab testing, and from what I had gained was that they had confirmed they were human. They were over 100 years old, and then they were sent to Indiana University for like further testing. Uh-huh. What Jordan said that he had came across was that they had confirmed they were actually taxidermy.
Wait,
and so were most likely not actual human bones.
Oh, how you said confirmed human, and then you said taxidermy, and I was like,
right.
Hold
so
the fuck
it
up.
Goes Did both we have ways. An Ed Gein? Yeah. Right. So what I had read was that it was confirmed human, and I mean, and a lot of people that have said that, but then he said that he'd also came across it stating that it was actually confirmed as taxidermy and not human. So
okay.
I don't really know which one is actually legit there.
Okay.
Because
okay.
it kind of goes.
I'll keep that in mind.
Both ways. Yeah. So just. Just so you have that to kind of go on as well.
So I may not be out of the blue with my Halloween Resurrection movie reference then.
So, but yeah, I mean, outside of that, of course, this house is, it's been, it's attracted a lot of groups. There's, I can't remember who it is that wrote a book about their investigation that's out there. It's been on a lot of TV shows. I mean, it's gained a lot of like national and international recognition at this point. But one thing that bothers me is they've turned this house, instead of just being like this well-known haunted house that people investigate, they've kind of turned it into a tourist attraction. One of the first
like
things,
like the Vasilla Axe murders,
even worse. Like one of the first things that they did that I was like, okay, that's fine. Was they installed like a coffee bar and like a chip rack and like a fridge to have soda and stuff, so you could have it while you're investigating.
Some little snackies.
Yeah, I was like,
okay. Do they have a pickle fridge?
They don't have a pickle fridge, as far as I know.
I feel like that's a flaw.
Then they started setting up, like, Ouija boards in the rooms.
Okay.
You know, like, staging these kind of setups. If you wanted to use them, sure, okay, that's cool. You didn't bring your own, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, they just announced something that they've been doing that's been very new within this, like, last month.
Uh-huh.
They set up a theater room in the house to watch horror movies on. And the tag is like, imagine watching this in the Monroe House. And I'm just like,
listen,
it takes away from it. It takes away from it so much, though. Like, I just feel like it makes it a joke.
I would 100% be like, fuck yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna say I wouldn't either, but
pass the popcorn, you know?
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you mean, though. And actually, like, as you go, so here's the thing for me. It, like, I haven't listened to this episode yet. I feel like I do know this story. Like, I know the name. I can't connect the name to where I know it from right now. But with cases like this, like, it sounds like from what you've told me, there is an actual tragedy and an actual tragedy followed by an actual human sadness or traumatic event,
right,
depending on how the marriage split. I know I was being bitchy about it before. I was mostly joking. But that setup alone, like, that to me, yeah, I could see how this house would be haunted. But how the fuck did we get to demons? Okay? Nay. It's not always demons. Why is that the first thing we always jump to?
Because it's always demons.
It's always demons. My religious trauma is showing right now.
No, I agreed. I mean, every like case like this goes that direction. Even if it's just to like brush on or like flirt with, it's somehow brought up in these cases. Like,
yeah,
maybe it was a demon.
Well, maybe it wasn't a demon, like, or maybe some terrible things just happened there, and the people who experienced it are still fucking dealing with that. Okay,
right. Maybe it was just a bout of bad luck.
Yeah. Maybe old what's-her-face, I've decided she's an old woman now, the woman whose whole family burned to death except for the baby, is sumo crouching in the corner being like, I have to live here, so do you. Deal with it.
What? I can't remember the movie. Was it, I feel like it was in a movie. And what was that movie where the kids go to visit like their grandparents, but it's not actually their grandparents, they had killed the grandparents, and they're actually going to these like this crazy couple? But I think like the old woman does the naked like sumo crouching.
The naked sumo. I, you know what? I don't
Why
know.
Why can't
what
I
that
think
is.
Of that movie right now?
I need you to tell me as soon as you know it, because I'll need to experience
it.
I was thinking of the others, but that's a completely different situation.
Mm, yeah. It's either
but
that
that's what was,
or
that's what was in my mind.
But I don't know. There's like this image that I have in my head. I'll try to think about it and let you know for sure. But it's a bad it's like exactly what I see, this like this old lady, and everybody seeing this old lady with the exactly. Yeah. She like kinda looks like a standing spider.
Yeah, you guys can't see me. You don't have the benefit of seeing the wild hand gestures and facial expressions that happen behind this podcast. This is why I like podcasting and not being on video, because I don't have to worry about what I'm doing. In this case, I'm crouched like a sumo woman.
But think of that. You can see that. And this naked woman. Exactly.
Yeah. That's sad for all of you.
I don't know. I wouldn't say I don't want to see it. I think it might be kind of cool.
I just, like, if she was, then I hope that it would turn into some, like, The Conjuring body contortion thing where she just, like, flips upside down and crawls at you like a crab.
Yeah.
That would be my hope.
But she has to be really fast.
Yeah, it would have to be, she would have to be so fast, and she probably would have to be, like super thin with, like, saggy skin for the full effect to, to really work.
Exactly. That's what I see, yeah.
If I'm being exposed to a demon house, these are my expectations, okay? Mm-hmm. Can you provide me with a crab-walking, sumo-crouching old lady? No? Get the fuck out. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I would watch a movie there, though, for real. Like,
oh, yeah, I mean,
I totally get what you're saying, but I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, but again, it's like very touristy. Like, they might as well just open it up as, like, a haunted house walkthrough, you know?
Yeah, I was about to say that, like, a year-round haunted house. It does. Like, so I feel like they should have done, like, what The Conjuring House did, where they had, like, a special viewing of The Conjuring at The Conjuring House, you know? I know there's not a movie about the Monroe House. Is there?
I mean, as far as I know, there's not.
Okay.
It's
but, like, it would make it, like, a special event instead of, like, an all-the-time thing. My orthodontist had a movie theater in their office, so, like, you're not making it special.
Right. It's, you know, and I get that with The Conjuring House, like, because they live in one part, and the other part's, like, almost, you know, they're just trying to keep set up, you know, in the way that it was.
They're and keeping so, it running. Plus, they watched The Conjuring movie on, like, the anniversary, on some anniversary. Oh, I think, what was it, the... It was an anniversary of the movie, I think. I don't remember. But either way, I remember seeing the post and being like, that's fucking cool, but it's not like an all the time.
Right.
Monroe House. Contact me. I have ideas. Okay? I also want to investigate there for real. So, like, if you or Jordan or both of you could get to this house and phone me in, phone a friend.
Well, what we were actually talking about, you need to come to Indiana, and then we'll hit up this place. And then there's literally a place that's a block away that you can see from this place. It's an old jail. Uh-huh. It's like a small jail, and it's like very, it's another big one that's been in a lot of shows and stuff. I want to do it for sure. And then I can make my final decision.
Yeah. Campfire listeners, There's no donation fund set up. But I'm just saying, if you want this to happen, donate money.
Set up a donation fund to make this happen.
Jordan and Ryan, because I am broke as shit. I love to travel. I love haunted places. But hi, hello. I don't have money.
we'll have to make it work some way or another here.
Make a small $5 donation, and I'll get my ass out to Indiana. And I'll get to meet both of your dogs. Am I almost more excited about dogs than I am hauntings? Yeah.
Dex can come 100%. Along for the investigation.
Oh, I would bring a backpack for him to chill in. I'd be so excited. And then Jordan's Irish wolfhound, I would attempt to win her love and affection away from him. I'm so sorry in advance, Jordan.
I mean, that dog, you can pretty much just, like, mount a saddle to it and just ride it around.
Irish wolfhounds are my dream dog. I know I'm rambling a lot today. I'm tired. It's my dream dog. I ended up with Gunner because there was no Irish wolfhounds to be found in the state of Florida when I was looking. And then I found Gunner and I fell in love with him. But I've wanted an Irish wolfhound for probably over 10 years, maybe.
Wow.
So I am thrilled. Yes, let's make this happen. Just kidding. I'll budget for this.
I just want another St. Bernard or a Newfie. I would also love a Newfie.
I just love big dogs. I'm a big fan of all of these breeds. All of these breeds.
I love big dogs too. But sometimes, I mean, I've had big dogs for so long. It's like now I'm down to one dog.
Oh, baby.
And he's just a little guy. So it's kind of nice, a little break. But I do.
I will say, I love Gunner with my entire heart and existence, but he can't be left alone because his separation anxiety is so bad. And it's like, I have three kids and a dog that I can't leave by himself. Like, listen, my life is complicated enough. I need I need a normal dog.
That's tough too, for sure.
It is. It is. All jokes aside, yeah, I seriously do want to, like, budget for a trip out there to do this because I am so curious. Let's get into your questions and see what they say because before pulling a single card, my instinct is, could there be real paranormal activity at this property? Yes, due to tragedy.
Right.
Not due to demons.
That's kind of my takeaway.
Yeah, I will say bullshit. You would really have to prove it to me in person and through the cards for me to say it's demons. So yeah, that's my, before I've pulled a single card, that response isn't necessarily surprising from me because I almost never believe it's demons.
Well, can we just off the bat just jump into this demon hole and ask, was there ever any quote unquote demon or demonic involvement, whether it be just like actual like practicing either black magic or whatever else, or was this all just as a result of satanic panic that involved?
Immediately a satanic panic. So there is already a nod here to there being like ghost activity.
Okay.
There's the deer, which is being on the right path generally to me, the ghost, but that's not demonic.
Right.
I have several cards in this deck that would indicate something more negative. That literally is just like, yeah, you were right. There is some haunting activity here. But no, all the rest of these cards are absolutely no. There's no demon here.
Okay.
Yeah, so I call bullshit on the demons. Yes to ghosts.
All right. Now I'm curious because again, when Paranormal Lockdown did go in and discover these bones,
mm-hmm.
we have two different like ways that both of us have found the information.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that we can know for sure if these were in fact just either like they weren't real bones and just taxidermied like Jordan found out?
Yeah, let me shuffle, and I'll just do two piles, and just one pile for bones, one pile for taxidermy, and we'll just see which one seems more likely. I probably won't break down the cards. I'm just going to go off of positive being yes, negative being no.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Okay. Human bones, taxidermy. Okay, let's see. You know? Okay, so the human... Oh, I don't know, though. Oh, how weird. They're both positive.
Okay.
So, I'm not exactly sure how to answer that one. So for the human bones, we have the hair, which is to hide in the harebells, so something hidden away. The knife is generally clarity. If it's not some sort of, like, it can indicate an argument, but in mm-hmm. this case, I think clarity. And then the moth, which is a messenger for the dead... And then for taxidermy, we have the cure, which is a yes card. Like, literally in the guidebook, it's a yes card.
Okay.
And then the lantern, which is, like, something no longer being in the dark. And the horseshoe, which is good luck. So, I would say that the taxidermy is more likely. But, again, there seems to be something ghost-related.
Okay.
Tied, I don't know if it's tied to the bones or if they're just like once again acknowledging that like there is stuff, you know?
Okay. Hey, I didn't know how easy that one would be to be able to like completely determine. So I was just, yeah, it's just curious because I mean, it does kind of, like I said, the information that we have is kind of conflicting a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and that's hard too if it was discovered on TV. I always want to believe what they like. I want to believe that the things I'm seeing on TV are real.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I also don't know any of those people, and I don't want to like speak badly of them or mm-hmm. their production team. But you know, sometimes things are exciting if they're found. You know.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Okay.
But. I would say possibly more likely taxidermy, but again, there still definitely was the hit on human remains or a human spirit lingering in the house.
So, I'm curious. We have Ulysses Myers and mm-hmm. his you know, his like whole change in personality and then, you know, fleeing his family with this mistress. I want to know, was that due to the house, like, was that due to the house, like, I'm influence, thrilled. Right?
Okay, was this house influence? That's the first
question.
Or
was he just already waiting for a time to be able to get out, and this just happened to be it?
Yeah, let's see what the house, oh, shit, I just dropped so many cards. Let's see what the house influence is, and then we'll ask about the waiting to run. Okay, so the first card is the pins, which is either to mend or repair something or a method of torture to prick a witch. I'm going to say that and I'm going to set it here because I think I have to work through the rest of the cards for that one to make sense.
Okay.
The next card is spell, which sounds thrilling and like, oh my God, the house totally had it under his spell, but it could also just be that he found another woman very enchanting. I may have to pull a couple of others. Like, those two cards to me... Okay. Why did they move into this boarding house? This is like a good, upstanding member of the community, right? Like, what happened that they were in the position that they needed to move into the boarding house? That was what I thought of. Unless that was just, like, normal...
The information that we have is very, very limited.
Okay.
It's all kind of few and far between. And what we have is, like, just this brief history on some of the families that have lived there. So we don't know why.
Okay.
Because it was them and their family. I mean, obviously wife, children, and the husband. You know, but we also know that this was a big house, too. And... You know, maybe it was just them with Mrs. Berger and remaining child for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because again, we don't know like the exact duration, the timeline, or anything of how long that they lived there or what brought them to the place. But again, they were known as a happy family and seemed to be doing pretty well for themselves.
Okay, so I'm gonna go through the rest of these cards. I'm going to tell you what I think about those first two cards, and then I'd like to pause and poll to see if I'm on the right track, because I will 100% fully admit that I have some bias towards this. So, you know, so I'm going to tell you my theory and do my due diligence by asking more information.
Let's do it.
The pins card, to mend or repair something. I don't know what this was like, but like to me, upstanding members of the community are generally the ones who have like the nice houses, the nice this and that. It would seem to me like they were struggling more than they were letting on, potentially, and they were kind of hoping that like by making this change or whatever, or by moving into this situation, maybe saving on finances, whatever, that they would be able to repair their relationship or whatever situation brought them to that point, right?
Right.
So to mend or repair something would imply to me that below the surface level, things were not perfect. They weren't necessarily the happiest family.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spell card, I am leaning more towards the idea that he found this other woman enchanting. I don't really think that there was anything malicious to it. Like, I know that I was being bitchy earlier. I just like to talk shit, you know? Like, don't take me too seriously when I'm ranting like that. But I think that the intention was to repair things. And then it was one of those situations where you meet someone and you realize, maybe I'm just done. Maybe this isn't worth fighting for anymore. The next card is the nettle, and that is a folk protection magic card to me. That's the way that I interpret that card. And so that would kind of negate any negativity to me. So like with that on the heels of the spell card, I don't think that this is like the house possessing the husband. And then we have the torch, which is illumination. So again, like he opened his eyes and realized that even though it would hurt his wife and his family, this isn't, he was done, you know, for whatever reason. And his reasons are his own. We can ask later or we cannot, but like that's kind of the way it feels like to me, like waking up and realizing, oh shit, there's no fixing this. And then the drum card is interesting because the drum is like a war cry, or like, you know, you beat the drums before you go into battle. But mm-hmm. I think in this case, it's a motivating force. Like, again,
okay.
he saw his eyes opened and again, ooh, my cord fell and I startled myself. Yeah, so I think it was one of those times where he was just like, no, this part of my life is done. This is how I want to move forward. And it could right. just be that he was so enchanted with his mistress that he was willing to throw his life away for her, which is a story that we've heard over and over again. And not just from men. There are so many stories of women doing the exact same thing, being mm-hmm. like, nope, I'm done. I found my love. The last card is the mirror, which is revealing the truth. Or ego. In this case, I'm leaning towards revealing the truth that the house didn't put him under any sort of spell.
Okay. I mean, that sounds good. I didn't know where, obviously, I mean, if there is, like, some hardcore, like, negative influence in this, and obviously, I mean, I think we've ruled out any, like, hard, like, old ancient magic or any type of like
yeah
demonic influence or anything like that for what it is. Yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense, you know, and that's yeah. and I think that was kind of like one of the thoughts I had, is maybe like something happened in this guy that like, because I mean, some you can change your personality and in a single second,
yeah,
like whether it be like maybe something happened at work.
Yep.
He did I think like he had lost his job at one point because his personality had changed. Like maybe something happened and he was kind of just stuck in this rut, you know? So he's yeah. like, everybody's seeing him differently now because he's just not this happy-go-lucky guy he once was. And I
mean, that could have just been depression too.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
Again, something could have happened at work. Something like, imagine if your work is going bad for a really long time and then you come home and there's so much pressure
mm-hmm.
and you know, like, yeah, your personality is going to change. That's a lot to keep up with.
It could have just been, like, just a psychotic break. He had yeah. reached that point. And so, like, I mean, yeah, there's so many different things that could cause this, you know, just kind of just the nature of this. And so that was what I thought and what I was hoping for. Again, yeah, I don't buy it being some type of, like, Amityville-esque thing. So,
yeah. I mean, I really want to hear a story like that where I actually do, like, where I feel like it's real, but I have,
mm-hmm.
In stories like this, I have yet to meet it. I have heard a few personal stories that have me go, intriguing. Mm-hmm. I need to know more, but well-known hauntings like this, I don't believe it. But again, you have to take my opinion on that with a grain of salt because I am a pretty open skeptic about the demonic.
as obviously you should be. It's, you yeah. know, sometimes it's just kind of silly, but I also love the idea of it. You know, there's something about it that
I do too,
that I really enjoy.
It's very cinematic.
Right. Exactly. All right. So we've kind of discussed, yeah, we've discussed kind of the earlier things here. Obviously, I mean, I feel like there's probably something in the house. I don't think it's just, you know, I don't think it's nothing at all. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's some type of, you know, activity. It could be lingering effects of just all the tragedy and everything the house has seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, particularly with that first family.
Yeah.
Something like that, I think, is going to have a lot of lasting impact. And so,
yeah.
So now with, like, the activity that we have here.
Yeah, I have a theory already. I think that the woman from the first family is still, I think that a part of her is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the grief and trauma that she experienced at having multiple of her family
even
members
though she
passed,
eventually right? moved away and started a new life and everything after the fact.
Yeah, because one of the theories that I've had for a while and I've seen in some of my investigations is I like to describe it like a Horcrux from Harry Potter. Mm-hmm. Even though J.K. Rowling is a garbage human, I still love the Harry Potter world.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? Yeah. We do not support those awful opinions, but it's a world that shaped my childhood, mm-hmm. you know? So when Voldemort creates a Horcrux, he breaks off a part of his soul, right? Obviously he has to kill and blah, blah, blah. It's complicated, mm-hmm. whatever. But if you're looking at it in terms of the paranormal, there are theories that go along with spirituality and trauma that kind of fit in the same vein, that when a person experiences a moment of trauma, a piece of their soul breaks off and the rest of it is like sheltered away. So if you're looking at a practice like what I do, shadow work, that is the practice of looking back at your traumas and taking back that missing piece of your soul. Whether that's literally or figuratively, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I have seen and experienced firsthand with some of the spirits that I've communicated with is that there are definitely some spirits out there who can give you their entire life story. They'll be like, yeah, this is what it was like when I was little. This is what happened to me. This is how I died. And there are other ghosts that are only able to, it's different than a residual haunting because there's some intelligence there, but they're not really able to go back or forward from that moment of trauma. Mm-hmm. Like it is just, it's a piece of their soul. It's a piece of them that experienced the trauma and the rest has moved on. So I think that it is likely, without pulling any cards, my theory, I think it's likely that that is what's happening here, a piece of this woman. Mm-hmm. But then we've seen a similar thing happen time and time again, where enough collective belief gets put into a place that we end up manifesting the haunting ourselves. An egregore situation. Right. So I do think that there is actual spirit activity. And I also think that it's entirely likely and possible that we, the humans, have gone into this building and been like, ooh, this has a tragic backstory. I experienced something creepy. It must be XYZ. Mm-hmm. And then the activity starts to ramp up and people are getting this, like, they're getting confirmation on a darker type energy, whatever they want. But you also have to stop and ask if we are the ones who are manifesting this darker energy,
yeah.
because we are pouring so much collective belief into it. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think is happening. I will pull cards on that, but now that I've finished, but also if you formulated your question, I'll ask that too.
No, I'm honestly completely in agreement. I think more times than not, a lot of the, so in this case, all the people that are going there that are adding to the belief of these things and creating this, it's allowing it to manifest. I think more times than not, that's how all hauntings take place.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there may be some residual energy there. There may be something, you know, there may be something that it is stuck, you know, possibly, you know, like a ghost or something, quote unquote, a spirit or whatever else that's kind of stuck in this loop.
Yep.
But the fact that if we start to add to it, we start to, you know, believe in it, we're, you know, doing so, we're adding emotion and things like that to it, it makes it a lot more real.
Yeah.
And that's what allows these things and these hauntings and places like that to actually take effect. And
yes, so, exactly. Which then makes it even more interesting because the fact that you are experiencing it and you're able to, like, document it with evidence means mm-hmm. that it's real. But you also have to stop and ask if it's, like, because in my opinion, it's not demons. But, like, when right. you're getting those results, you also have to kind of stop and break it down a little bit, which I think is hard for a lot of people because it's exciting mm-hmm. when you get that type of response. And it's easy to say as an outsider looking in being like, well, did you ever stop to consider this? But yeah, I agree. I think that humans are responsible for most hauntings. And I say that as someone, like, I've talked to a fuck ton of ghosts or spirits mm-hmm. or whatever term you want to give them. And I think that humans cause a lot of the hauntings. Ew.
Yeah.
So let me just, let me start with the woman real quick, and I'm going to switch decks, and I'm just going to ask if it's her that is...
Yeah, I'm like, into that.
Is she the activity, the original activity, excuse me, because I do believe it's entirely possible for more activity to happen now.
Well, yeah, of
course. Okay, we have we have the hero, we have abandonment, the Ace of Cups, and the Tower. So it might actually be the second woman, the woman who was literally abandoned. Let me get some confirmation here. Because the hero card is the Knight of Cups. And the Knight of Cups is generally a romantic proposal, right? Like, and hey, like, what if we tried, because again, to go back to the Pins card, what if we tried this? What if we tried, we can come back together, our family can be... blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then she's abandoned. So we have emotional opportunity, abandonment, Ace of Cups is another opportunity being offered, and then the Tower card. So to me, that would sound like the second wife, the wife that the husband left his mistress for. So I could have been wrong about the energy of which grief I was
Could there feeling. Still be possible... With the first, Mrs. Berger.
That's true. I mean, it could be both. Oh, look at that. The key is a yes card. Oh, and the corpse. That's interesting. Do we know where this woman died? She didn't die in the house, surely.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know with the Berger, well, both families moved out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and eventually Mrs. Berger, the remaining from the first family, she eventually sold the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she and her remaining child could move away.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the information is very, very limited, so I have no idea where they moved to. I'm assuming out of the area completely.
Okay.
Because they had originally immigrated from Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
The first family.
So then she moved on. Right.
Right. So she may have moved back. You know, it's hard to say. And I know the Myers family, after Ulysses was out of the picture, they moved... And moved out of this this house as well.
Okay, so the corpse card might be just dead weight, not an actual corpse. Okay, so we have tassiography, which is, I usually just look at it as divination. So in this case, I'm pulling it as clarification, as like, hey, you already have your clarification. Mm-hmm. We have hourglass, which is feeling pressured. The key is a yes card, and then the corpse. And if it's not an actual corpse, it's like a dead weight that you're carrying around, basically. Okay. So, yeah, so I think I'm sure that there is still a ton of grief from the first tragedy there, but the initial haunting may have been caused by a piece of, not her entire spirit, because we know she lived after this, but a piece of the grief this woman experienced when her husband, R-U-N-O-F-T, as they say, in... Oh brother, where art thou? My brain had a moment there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, R-U-N-O-F-T.
Which, I mean, that would make sense. It'd be enough to leave that kind of lasting effect. And then also, even with Mrs. Berger, I feel like there could be, you know, obviously she suffered a big loss, but maybe like. At some point, she found anger. Like, she is maybe angry at her husband for feeling like he abandoned her, even though obviously that wasn't intentional. He burnt up in a fire.
Right.
But maybe, like, leaving her to have to deal with everything and show, you know, there was a bit of anger left. I feel like contribute a little bit, too.
Yeah, well, and if it's, like, an angry energy left behind, anger and heartbreak, like, those are the types of things that... if enough human belief is poured into, can turn into what we perceive as something much darker that other people would come in and be like, this is demonic. There's no other explanation for this. So let me just ask if that's what's going on. The initial haunting was potentially sparked by a piece of this woman who felt angry, betrayed, hurt, and then... human belief caused an egregore situation.
Cool.
That makes sense to me. Me and my, I don't believe in demons over here. Ew. I think yes. I think yes. So we have the pail. And with the pail, that's been coming up a lot lately. And I know that I'm missing a meaning to that. It keeps, like, poking at my brain. I have to look up the guide. I have to get the guidebook out one of these days. But one of the things about the pail is, for me, it brings up underground realms, like subconscious belief type things. Okay. And then we have the torch, which is illumination, shedding light on a situation. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, we have the child card, which it means new beginnings, but it can also mean black-eyed child. So the sort of undercurrent of energy that's happening, shedding light on... I don't necessarily have a card that goes with demon, but I feel like black-eyed child is like...
I mean, that's good enough, yeah.
You know? But then right after that, we have the black ink, and that card means... words have power. That is, like, that's the meaning of that card. So the intention, the things that you were speaking, the things that you were, the stories that you were spinning actually take on a force of their own. And then we have the apron, which is interestingly a blanket of protection or a more female type energy. So, like, it's not, again, it's not anything evil or dark. It's just... enough people have gone through and decided that's what it is, so that is what they're seeing. They're encountering the type of energy that they're expecting to find there because they've been told this is demonic. That's my official takeaway. Take it or leave it as you will. Please remember, I have hefty religious trauma, but also I'm very good at what I do, so
So I think we're all honestly nearing the end here, if not at the end. But the fact that they've turned this into a tourist attraction, for me, still, like, weighs heavy on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that we found that there's got to be some energy, something there.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, lastly, is this a legitimate haunt or is this a tourist attraction?
Oh, got to go back to the Memento Mori for that legitimate haunt.
Because, I mean, we could make it seem like it's a legitimate haunt, but not be.
Or tourist attraction. Let's see. Legitimate haunt, we have cemetery, pins, and runes, which to me is an intuition card.
Okay.
Tourist attraction is the boot, which is being on the right path. The knitting needles, connecting the threads, and the clover. Good luck. So, my official answer is, while there is an underlying basis for this to be a genuine haunting, it's mostly a tourist attraction.
Ooh, okay. All right, well, I mean,
officially.
Like, yeah. I feel like, again, I feel there's probably something there, you know, I mean... some experiences people are having, whether it's due to their own influence, maybe, or maybe there is some lingering effect, but that's been my thought. And that's kind of where Jordan and I came together and just like, yeah, you know,
yeah,
like it feels too touristy at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the majority of what people experience there is tourist attraction. Yeah. Same page.
Cool.
Both me and the cards. Same page.
Well, perfect. I honestly want to end there then, because I think that's, to me, I think that's a perfect spot, because again, with everything else, like, I mean, I feel like we've gotten a lot, but
I agree. Yeah,
that kind of, I think that solidifies that argument.
Yes. I think so too.
Cool. All right. Anything else that you have, you want to touch on? Any other questions?
Nope, that's it.
Excellent. Well, I feel good about where we're at and kind of where we've landed here. So,
you know what? I like a good debunking. I like a good debunking as much as I like it being real. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, you know what?
Absolutely.
Just
yeah.
I'm gonna dust off my hands. That was work well done.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate obviously you as always, and yeah, I think that's gonna do it for this week's episode of Camp Divination, the Monroe House.
Perfect. All right. See y'all next week.